Good morning. It is a blessing to be here today with you as we celebrate new beginnings. A new choir director, a new season of choir music, and a new year of religious education. As your Christian education coordinator and the youth director here at First Congregational United Church of Christ, this is a special day for me. So last Tuesday, our moderator, Ken Rao, if you don't know, and our church secretary, Kathy Woolley, and I, well, we met for our weekly staff meeting, such as it is these days. We've decided what we like to do is we meet at the counter in the office. We spread out all of our calendars and our notes, and we check in with one another. So last Tuesday, we talked about our weekends and our lives, and we also talked about recent church member news. I was struck in particular by one thread of Tuesday's conversation. In nearly one breath, we talked about the memorial service for Reverend Farley Maxwell and how Reverend Jennifer Burnell's bio is the cover of this week's link. A handful of sentences encompassing 31 years of this church's history. The duality of the end of one pastor's relationship with us and the beginning of another's. As Christians, we live a faith that encompasses another duality, our study of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I like to include a scripture reading from both parts of the Bible because I believe it is important to honor the Hebrew people's relationship with God and their understanding of the world, as well as the early church's relationship with God and their understanding of the world as it was known in antiquity. However, this week, I chose only New Testament readings. The lectionary calendar offered us Mark, and I like using the lectionary. I believe in the power of the repetition, the cycle of rereading the texts. But standing there at the office counter, I couldn't help but think that now is a new day. So many things here are being made new that it seemed appropriate to choose for the second scripture reading, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them, and they will be God's peoples, and God fully will be with them. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart do justice to the power of God's Spirit within this place and within us all. Amen. '80 was a year of many big events. Elections, Olympics, volcanic eruptions, and assassinations. And for me, it was the year I entered middle school. Amid the events of that year, a particularly obscure one comes to mind. It was the year I learned to appreciate bumper stickers. There is a wonderful simplicity to bumper stickers. They let us publicly share what we support either with our financial contributions or tuition dollars, the activities we participate in, as well as our children's achievements. And many bumper stickers allow us to distill bits of wisdom that have the goal of making us be better people. Bumper stickers such as "Wag more, bark less," coexist, written in different religious symbols, and practice random acts of kindness, all are examples of bumper sticker nuggets of advice, proclaiming ways we can be better versions of ourselves. Before 1980, the bumper stickers I'd noticed had mostly been about political candidates or athletic teams. But one night, that all changed for me. It was during my mother's dreaded carob chip stage. And her friend had brought over our weekly food co-op delivery. There was a clean rectangle that had been rubbed in the dust of her ancient VW van. And centered within it was a new bumper sticker. It said, "You are what you eat." I appreciate that notion, that the quality of our food impacts the quality of our lives, that we ultimately become what we consume. However, today I want to share another nugget of advice, a different bumper sticker, if you will. You are what you practice. Think on that for a moment, practice. A word that's both a noun and a verb, something you do and the act of doing a thing. In either case, practice changes you. It can make you more, or it can make you less. Practice can transform you. While I was working on this homily, I thought about two church members. They both happen to be here today, Bowen Marquardt and Cindy McNally. Bowen practices his soccer skills. Cindy practices medicine. They both practice to become better, and they both identify that with which they practice. Ultimately, they are what they practice, perhaps not wholly, but definitely in part. The longer they practice it, the more they will become it. In this case, practice does not only make a person perfect, it makes a person more. As Christians, there are many aspects of how we practice our faith, and some of those practices differ between progressive Christians and our more conservative brethren. For example, how we say the Lord's Prayer in this church differs from other Protestant congregations and very much differs from how a Catholic congregation says it. So many practices and so many variances on those practices, and yet it is our practicing of our faith that makes our faith an extension of who we are. For me, I hear faith practices like mission or discipleship, and my first instinct is to think that they do not apply to me. This is because I associate both terms with faith communities where I've never truly felt comfortable. Excuse me. And yet we do mission work right here at First Congregational United Church of Christ. Every time we invite others to worship with us, that is mission work. We do mission work when we're present and conduct ourselves in ways that we believe are appropriate. And when we consider Jesus' treatment of others as indicative of how we should also treat others, well, that's discipleship right there. The truth is, it's time for me, and perhaps a few of you, to relook at what it means to practice our faith. It's time to see those practices as good and valuable and as Christian. It's time for me to see myself as a Christian for what I do and not just for what I don't. And that's the difficult part of identifying as a progressive Christian. Speaking up and sharing the important nuggets of ourselves with others. It's difficult to put bumper stickers on our cars, so to speak, because bumper stickers tell others how we see ourselves and how others should see us. If I were stuck in traffic and I saw a car with both a fish decal and a bumper sticker that said, "All things made new," well, I would immediately assume that that driver probably wouldn't have much in common with me. I would assume this because it seems that a driver who would put that sort of bumper sticker on his or her car would read the New Testament's revelation in what's called a futurist way, meaning believing revelation tells us of what will come to be for both the followers and the non-followers of Jesus. That is one interpretation of the book of Revelation, but it is only one of four. I suppose it is possible that the driver could read Revelation from a historicist perspective, seeing it as a broad review of general history, as it was known up until the end of the first century when the book of Revelation was written. Or perhaps the driver could read Revelation from what's called a preterist perspective, a review of the apostolic era, or even the fall of the Roman Empire up until the book's writing. But I doubt it. And I certainly doubt that readers of Revelation like me, readers who see it as an allegory for the struggle between good and evil, well, I doubt they would ever put such a bumper sticker on their car. After all, if you read Revelation as centuries-old history, it doesn't make a lot of sense to identify with it enough to put its bumper sticker on your car. But perhaps if you read Revelation as a symbol for what is really a big part of our human condition, our struggle between good and evil, well, perhaps you should get an All Things Made New bumper sticker. Doing so would surely indicate that not only do you recognize the duality of humanity, but that you practice acts that allow you to be better. A sort of reclaiming of our faith in bumper sticker form. As Christians today, we must embrace the many aspects of duality that exist in our faith. We have a faith tradition that is based in part on the Hebrew experience as well as on the experience of the early church. But we are neither Hebrews of nearly 3,000 years ago nor the Jewish Christians 2,000 years ago who believed that Jesus was the Messiah whom the prophets had foretold. We're not those people. We're not a people trying to make sense of a world without scientific understanding, nor are we a people trying to make sense of a world controlled by the Romans. No, we are a people trying to make sense of a world with shrinking polar caps and political refugees and cancer cells. So, how do we practice a faith for today's world? Well, first, we embrace the aspects of the Bible that still speak as truly to the human experience today as they did thousands of years ago. And then we gather together. Together here where we can protect the old and the young, the weak and the sick. Together we celebrate our victories and then we can mourn our losses. And together we are able to allow ourselves to be made new. Look around this space. These people, they are our church. These are the people who will celebrate you, and they will support you, and they will hold you together. Just as the early disciples held together the earliest form of the Christian church. Back then, approximately 120 members met in houses and in hidden places. They were small in number, but they ended up creating something huge. These people, also small in number, but they are large in faith. And they, all of you, you are our church. We may practice church in our own private ways, but by practicing church, we become the church. Every Sunday, when you wake up and come here, you become the church. Every committee meeting you attend or potluck dish you bring is how you put into practice your faith in this place and these people. And in doing so, you make this place a church. We are at a wonderful place in our church's history. We have a chance to affirm our past and to celebrate our future. Yes, there are many unknowns, but what matters most is what is known. These people know you, and they're known by you. These people have said again and again that this sacred space matters and it should be made to withstand the fiercest rainstorm. These people have practiced over and over the acts that show this church to be like the first church, a body of people committed to live in the example of Jesus, the man who welcomed children, who fed the hungry, who broke unjust laws, and gathered and empowered his community. We can take this time of uncertainty and use it to become an even better church than we have been known to be. We can be not just the church on the hill, not just the church who has a table at the park. We can be those things, and we can be more. The more we allow ourselves to practice our faith, the more that faith can transform us into the church we can be. Like a caterpillar whose whole world is first a single garden bush and then is transformed into a butterfly able to fly above the trees, we too can be transformed. Let us all have bumper stickers on our cars that read, "We are what we practice." And maybe, just maybe, a second bumper sticker that reads, "All things really can be made new." Amen.